Hey everybody, TC Hale here. Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most number of people are no longer available when people search for them on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. But for now, enjoy this show on how to quit smoking that originally aired in March of 2014, and we'll see you next week with a new episode.
TC Hale is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off the show. Hey, welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with TC Hale, natural health expert, producer, author, just a bunch of
Oh.
Well, but good stuff.
Poop. I wonder if we have a beep we can put in there. Yeah. That would be awesome. We should get one. Just the sound.
I just wouldn't speak anymore.
Right, every time.
We would wear it out. It'd wear out the first episode.
We're doing that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That cost would add up.
Yeah, and that sexy voice you're hearing over there is Will Sexy Schmidt. I like to give him a hard time. He blushes. Aww. I love it when people fake humbleness.
We are in Hollywood after all.
He's a really fancy trainer in Hollywood, and he trains a bunch of people.
Celebrity people,
yeah.
If you get his autograph, it's worth money on eBay through osmosis.
Exactly. Okay, so if this is your first time hearing us, then shame on you. You need to pull over immediately and follow us on Facebook at Kick It In The Nuts. We're going to post topics there every week on future shows, and you guys can post any questions that you want us to cover on the show, and we'll read your question and embarrass you, I'm sure. I'll read it in a bad accent, and I'll say something offensive.
Or racist.
Yeah. Or racist,
and then maybe we'll help you.
Yes, and just a disclaimer here, I'm not an alcoholic, for those of you out there who are worrying about my drinking habits.
It's called functional alcoholic.
Yeah, I'm a high-functional alcoholic. Okay. Today's topic is it's a hard one. I mean, this is a hard one. It's about quitting smoking. And
you know
is
a little bit about that.
I do. I wasn't always like a full-time smoker, like a smoker that would wake up and like have a cigarette right off the bat. Uh-huh. But I was more like a social smoker, and I would smoke when I drank. But the thing was, I was drinking every day. So it was like, you know, I was having some every day. Uh-huh. But I could put it down, and I could go for a while without it, and then something stressful would pop up, or I'd just be mad or something, and that would be the first thing I would go to.
Right.
That and chocolate.
Well, there's worse things you could put in your mouth, so that's...
Let's not go there.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Okay. That's what we're going to be talking about today. What do you guys want to say about smoking, you know, right off the bat before we dive into questions?
Well, it is hard. I mean, people have a hard time with, you know, quitting, and they want to quit. They're like, oh, I want to stink less, you know. Everybody has a reason that they want to quit, or some family member that's nagging them. And so what we're going to do today is kind of explain to you why it's so hard to quit, and what that smoking is doing to your physiology that makes you want to keep doing it. And when you stop, you go a little bit psycho.
Yeah. And people don't like smokers these days. I mean, like, anywhere you go, you can't smoke anyway. So it's like they're making it harder and harder to smoke. So
it's not as cool as it used to be.
Yeah,
it used to be pretty to do it.
Yeah.
And then it got less like that.
I know.
So we're going to help you be less gross. That's the goal. Is if you're here, it's because you don't want to have people pointing at you and be like, what is that? And explaining to their kids, well, that's a cigarette. That's what people used to do. And,
that's a Drake Cole.
So, but we understand why it's so difficult. So we're going to try to explain that. And one big thing to understand is that people look at it like, nicotine is an addictive drug, and so that's why you're having such a hard time. And that's true. It is addictive. But there are a lot of other things that smoking is doing to your body that is making you feel like, oh, this is the best thing ever. This is the best thing in the land. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to look at why it's so hard to stop, let's look at what it's doing to especially like blood pressure and the vascular system. And first, Will, why don't you talk about seizures? And we talked about this a little bit in our cravings episode. So let's talk about seizures and cravings, and then we can relate that into what's going on when you're smoking.
Yeah, they're all pretty tied together, which is also why people tend to go on crazy carb binges and gain weight when they try to stop smoking.
Right. Right.
It's like, oh, if I'm not smoking, then I just find myself eating carbs all the time, and I'd rather be skinny than live longer.
Right.
So, so they make that choice. So they're connected in this way of like the huge priority that your body has in maintaining adequate blood pressure. When your blood pressure gets too low, you can get a seizure. If it goes too high, the opposite side is a heart attack. But too low, we don't normally hear about it as a problem. Like
you can get a seizure. Now you can just get them.
You can order it.
Instead of having them, you can get them.
Yeah.
Right. Home shopping blood. Network.
Right.
I'd like to order one.
Yeah. So that happens because of this fancy thing called zeta potential, which is like basically the charge in your blood, this electromagnetic little dance that holds all of your blood cells separate. And when the charge gets off out of ideal range, whether it's too many of the wrong kind of electrolytes or not enough of the right kind, the blood will collapse. And that's where you get either a heart attack with too many electrolytes or a seizure with too few. And that's a huge problem because you'll die. And your body knows that.
Wow.
So
the heart attack thing your body wants to avoid that.
Yeah. Right? So it will make you give up your diet. It will make you go back on cigarettes to keep your blood pressure up where it should be. So it doesn't care if you're on this low carb kick or whatever. If your blood pressure or blood sugar get too low, it will go in override mode and screw your diet and screw your resolution to quit smoking to get their blood pressure
back
up.
And you won't look skinny in your coffin.
Yeah.
Right. You won't look good in your coffin.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And just so that we don't freak anybody out, I don't want you to think that I'm craving carbs now, so I'm about to have a seizure. That's not how it works. It's that when mineral levels go very low, a person can have a seizure. And if blood sugar goes really low, a person can have a seizure. And if both of those go low at the same time, then you have great susceptibility to seizures. And when you have a craving, you probably have a long time before you would actually have a seizure. It's just that with a seizure being basically a shutdown of the whole system, the body's very defensive about that. And it gives cravings way, way in advance, even a day in advance. Or more, but it's very defensive about that. So that's why those cravings come on. We get a craving for some type of sugar or carb that can help put something in that blood to thicken it up and allow signals to travel and a lot of other functions to happen better. So that's what those cravings are about. And we talk about that in our craving episode a lot, and we teach you how to use things like sea salt and fixed digestion and things that can put more stuff in your blood. So that's kind of what's happening with smoking. You hear about all these toxins and chemicals and the tar and all that stuff in the cigarettes. And not only does nicotine, is it a vasoconstrictor, where it constricts your vascular system, which means it's closing up the vascular system to where if you have less stuff and your blood pressure is low, once it's constricted, it's like lifting your blood pressure. Because it's like a smaller pathway for everything to move through.
You do look skinnier when it constricts.
But your veins constricting is not going to slim you.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm bloated. My veins aren't constricted enough.
Right.
Exactly. I've got fat veins today.
Yeah.
I haven't been smoking.
That's not
how it works
at all.
Yeah.
But so not only does nicotine constrict the vascular system, which is going to lift your blood pressure and help you function a little more, but all those chemicals and the tars and the toxin and all that stuff is going to thicken up your blood too. So there's more junk in there, and that's lifting your blood pressure as well.
Mm-hmm. And just a quick note on why people would typically crave either that or carbs, like say after a meal, is because a lot of the blood flow and like sort of electrolytes and stuff that they have will go towards trying to digest like a bigger, heavier meal, which is why people usually get like a sweet craving right after they eat, because that's a quick way to boost the blood sugar levels back up, which might be all consumed by the digestive process. So people want to either smoke or have sugar right after the meal to try to like lift their standing blood pressure back up, because all
or
that
sex.
Other blood.
Right.
Yeah,
sex
right.
is a big thing. That's,
it
you use
so
energy.
I forgot to have a cigarette this
right.
morning.
Right.
But if you have sex and you're not just, lying there and sweating, if you're the person that's actually doing the work, then you use a lot of resources to do that. And that's why afterwards your body's like, hey, I kind of got nothing left. What can you do that will give me an immediate lift? And sugar you know, I've dated a girl before that after sex, not that we had sex out of wedlock, but she would tell me that after sex, she just wanted lemonade, you know, and that's sugar. That's the immediate
good old
sugar
country
lift.
Time lemonade.
Right. And that's not because I wasn't doing any of the work. That's not what I'm trying to, the point that I'm trying to make. Okay. I'm trying to say that, you know, digestion takes a lot of resources.
I'm thinking about Tony having sex right now.
And that's why she's laughing so hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, digestion, the sex, you know, all those things take a lot of resources, and then your body wants to replace them. So that's a good time to be like, hey, I got to have a cigarette.
Tony has a weenie.
It's weird.
You know, yeah. I don't think of that, but he does.
It's okay. It's not impressive. So let's talk about something else.
Oh, shifting away from the weenie talk. Huh?
So we'll cover some questions, but what we'll do today is we want to talk about that. The first thing you need to do is look at where you are, because some of the things that we'll talk about that will help you quit easier. And you still have to want to quit. This is, nothing here is magic. You're not going to give this thing to your husband and he's going to quit. A person has to want to quit because there still is that addictive factor going on. But we want to put everything we can in your favor. So
y'all
to do that.
You're making me want a cigarette.
So, but the important thing is that you'll have to look at some things in your physiology to understand what steps you're allowed to take or will work for you or will make you worse kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, y'all want to start answering some questions?
You have some.
All right, I have some. Oh, this was my question. What are we talking about smoking?
Meaning, not smoking of other things.
Smoking of other things.
Right. No, we're going to talk about cigarette smoking.
Okay, today. Just cigarettes today. Okay. All right, Fred from North Hollywood, California. I've quit 8 times. It always seems to grab a hold of me again when I'm stressed and I have to gear up to quit all over again. Oh, Fred, I hear you.
Yeah. And what does stress do?
Yeah, and stress will like accelerate glycolysis. And you'll start to burn through your sugars faster and then eventually you'll crash. So sometimes like we can look at, we need to look at how all these different systems interplay, like the sympathetic nervous system can speed the rate at which you're using sugar, which can thus lower your sugar later. And then also there's other times where people have this real just sort of like behavior addiction to like just wanting to go do something to like occupy their mind.
Sure.
Like it's going outside and smoking and oral fixation can, whatever it is.
I was smoking a cigarette.
Right. Yeah. But usually like when people try to quit and they fail, it's because they haven't taken on looking at what in their body chemistry is making them want to need it or feel benefits from it.
Right. Yeah. So a big thing to do is first of all, is to look at your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can get a blood pressure cuff at any pharmacy for $50 or something. And a lot of them have those sit down things where you sit down and does your blood pressure for a quarter or whatever. So it's not hard to figure out what your blood pressure is. But if that systolic number, which is the top number on most of the meters, is below 112, then it's a pretty strong indication that you're low on minerals, because that blood pressure is made up of our minerals and our sugar and protein a little bit too. But so if something's low, it's going to show up as a low number.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about why you might have low blood pressure in our earlier episode on cravings. And we relate that back to usually, like, one, you don't have very powerful digestion, so you're not getting a lot of the nutrients from your food. And two, you may be spiking and dropping your blood sugar with your food choices, which could also make you more prone to craving a cigarette.
Right. And, you know, with an optimal blood pressure being like 120 over 80, if you're a smoker and you take your blood pressure and it's 130, you know, over 85 or whatever, you may say, oh, well, it's a little bit high. But keep in mind that it's higher because you're smoking, which means that not only are you filling your blood with the garbage and the drugs and the toxins, but you're constricting your vascular system too. So it may look good now, but if you stop smoking, it would come down pretty fast, and that may be why you're having such a hard time quitting. So it's nice to, you know, maybe try to check it before you try to quit, and then as you try to quit, monitor your blood pressure and see, is it going down? Is that why I'm having all these cravings and such?
I got a question. Well, how do y'all feel about nicotine gum, like Nicorette gum, like when you're trying to quit?
It's harder to blow bubbles with nicotine gum. And I like to blow bubbles if I'm chewing gum.
Bubblicious is coming out with a new one. So
Okay, good.
All right. We'll try that. Nice.
But I think it's actually a can be a very helpful thing, because like Tony's saying, it's not just the nicotine that's toxic about smoking. It's all these other additives. So if you're going to pick your poison, I would definitely go with nicotine and try to taper down on your dosage of that, and then address your body chemistry issues.
Sure. And a lot of people will say, I tried the gum and that didn't work for me. And if you think about it, the gum doesn't contain the tar and a lot of those toxins that the smoking does. Mm-hmm. So those are a lot of factors that would have been thickening up your blood and allowing you to function a little more. And this doesn't mean that smoking is good, because it allows you to function. It's just like, sugar allows you to function in the immediate too, but it's still going to spike insulin and cause all these other troubles weight gain and all that. But
diabetes.
Yeah, I had something else I was going to say. I think it was about a wheelbarrow or something.
It might be good to add in here, all right, well, if you're going to use a nicotine patch and you find that didn't boost my blood pressure as much as all this other tar and garbage and stuff, some other useful tools that we commonly recommend to people would be to either add more salt to your diet, like unrefined sea salt or rock salt. Or there's a couple different amino acids which can be helpful depending on your body chemistry, like L-glutamine if you're too catabolic, or L-phenylalanine.
That
can also help raise your blood pressure and push you to be more catabolic. So if you take the time to figure out if you're too anabolic or catabolic, either one of those might be good for you. And then we also recommend trace mineral drops. You can add that to your water. Mm-hmm. And all those are other very practical, very easy ways to help keep your blood pressure up while you try to pull the smoke out.
So the patch, though, if you're on the patch and then you have a cigarette, you could have a heart attack or stroke, right? I mean, that's one of the side effects, that you're not supposed to smoke on the patch because it could hurt you.
Right, especially if you have four patches on at once kind of thing.
Did you see that episode of The Simpsons where Homer had patches everywhere? He's like, I think there's still more room on my butt.
So that's why there's dangers involved with that, because you're raising it with the patch and then you're doubling up with other things.
So then you're really raising your blood pressure.
But the keep yourself safe, the important thing to do is to monitor and see what's going on with whatever you're trying. If you can watch your blood pressure, then all of a sudden you have information and you can see what you're doing.
Cool.
If you want to figure out if keto is right for you or your body chemistry, check out a new podcast, Chat the Fat. If you know me at all, you know I believe there is no diet that is right for every person. But if major weight loss is your goal, nothing is faster or easier than keto if it's right for you. So my co-host Nissa Grahn and I will help you figure out if you can use keto to get past your weight loss plateaus or improve other health issues. Just search for Chat the Fat on iTunes or Stitcher, or go to chatthefat.com to learn more.
Amber from Clare, Michigan. I've tried for years to quit being so smoking hot. However, it hasn't worked. I put frumpy clothes on. Men just wonder what I'm hiding. Hot mess is usually the phrase used to describe me. How does one stop the entourage of rich, powerful men falling at my feet? I have the same problem, Amber, and you just don't.
You just can't stop it.
Order up, number, serving now, number 101, and there you go, okay.
Well, maybe Amber was confused about this episode.
I guess so, yeah.
So I'm not sure we can help her out with that one.
Sorry, Amber. I don't know how to help you. Okay, Elaine from Los Angeles, California. Kicking butt, kicking the butts. That's your next title, Tony.
Okay.
There
good.
You go.
That's good.
I've succeeded is when you want to smoke, I'll go outside and take a walk for 5 or 10 minutes. For me, it was changing my scenery, but still going outside. Also, sea salt worked a ton.
Yeah, so, look at the things that you hear in the mainstream about quitting smoking, and people will give you advice that is usually almost worthless and almost does nothing, but it is something that you could put in your favor. So you can see Elaine was doing things like sea salt to lift her blood pressure, but when she also still had a craving, especially in that first week, you're going to be a little mental in that first week, that she would do something that would put whatever she could in her favor, like going outside like she usually would when she smoked, but she just wouldn't smoke instead. So there's nothing wrong with doing those things that people tell you to do, whether it be a self-hypnosis tape or something like that. All those things have validity, just a lot of times they're not enough. But if you put them together with the things that we're explaining here, then all of a sudden the smoking can be a lot easier.
You have anything to add, Will?
I just like that she found some solutions that worked for her.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And it's, you know, when you do find those ones, it's probably because you corrected something in your particular chemistry. But you don't have to just go by guessing and checking. Like, you can actually look at your chemistry and know what's going to be right for you in advance.
So right.
And that's awesome, because then you don't have to put yourself on unnecessary restrictions or unnecessary additives to your diet. If they're not right for you, you're going to know that from the start once you understand your own chemistry.
And when we talk about looking at your own chemistry, it's pretty easy to do, and we teach it in all of our books. But since we talk about so many things where you need to look at your chemistry on the show, we have a free course. It's a 4-week digestion course on kickitinthenuts.com. And it's free, and that'll teach you how to run these simple tests at home yourself so that you can understand, okay, where am I and what things should I use to push me the right direction.
And you have videos and stuff that show all this. Yeah. Oh,
there's somebody's fast and furious outside. Yeah, car zoom by. Was it too soon?
But yeah, there's videos that show how to do all the different self-tests and how to make sense of them. So that course is not just about fixing digestion. It'll teach you the essentials of all that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve. Smoked for 40 years. Tried everything to quit. Nothing worked. I finally locked myself in a hotel room for 3 days with a hooker and came out smoke-free. Okay, I added the hooker part. Damn, it's tough to quit, but so worth it.
Yeah, so that was a pure willpower thing. He just willpowered his way through. And, you know, I tell clients a lot that with any kind of addiction, if you can get past the eighth day, a lot of times it becomes easier because your body starts to forget, oh, I could use that to fix this problem easily. And then your cravings can reduce a lot.
Tony, that's total BS. I've gone away from you for 3.5 weeks and I still can't quit you.
Right. Aww.
See? Aww. See, I can be sweet sometimes.
But one thing Steve didn't mention.
We got that on tape, right?
Yeah. One thing.
Play it back when I'm bitchy.
Maybe Steve just started raiding the mini fridge. We don't know. Like, he might have turned. Totally. He might have turned to carbs and doesn't realize it, or.
Why does smoking follow hand in hand with drinking? What is that about? Like, why every time when you put any kind of alcohol in you, do you automatically go, man, a cigarette would be really good?
Well, alcohol is a relaxant. It's actually a vasodilator. So that can, even though there's adding
dilated
a lot of sugar.
To a 10 right now.
Right. So that'll do the opposite thing of what Tony was talking about with the vasoconstriction. So people want to, like, boost their blood pressure back up by pushing their nervous system back into, like, more of a sympathetic state.
Sure, and think about alcohol is really just liquid sugar. So when you spike your sugar levels with liquid like that, it spikes faster and insulin will respond much faster and then can drop that sugar very drastically, which will make a person be like, man, I got to do something. And smoking will help give that lift again.
Mm.
So there's two reasons that somebody could want to smoke.
All right. Ashley. I made a promise to my son. Nothing is stronger than that. I still battle the urge, but it is less and less. Quit in June 2013. Good, Ashley, but we don't all have kids.
Right, so that's why I recommend people to have kids. So that they can,
yeah, so you can quit smoking. Have a kid, you'll quit smoking.
It makes you do a lot of things like, oh, I became a better person. How about that?
Yeah, right. Less selfish. Ugh.
Yeah, I clearly don't have kids because I'm not a better
person. I don't have any either because I'm as selfish as they come. Okay, Mary. It has been a little over 5 years since I smoked the last cig. I can't even stand the smell now. It's almost like someone pushes my head under water because the smell takes my breath away. Oh, good for you, Mary, overachiever.
Yeah, well, I don't know why it becomes to where people hate it so much after they've gotten over it.
I don't know, but I've tried to pick it up a couple times. I just I hate it. I can't. And when you look at my chemistry, it makes a lot of sense why that is. Like, my chemistry leans in the opposite direction of, because I'll do all these things to, like, get my blood pressure up a little higher to take on a strong workout every day. So
smoke a cigarette.
when it's already high, I'm like, it just makes me really anxious. Plus, it tastes gross, and it, you know.
So you've never, like, been a smoker?
I've never made it through a cigarette. I can't.
Wow.
I've tried, like, 3 times, and just, I'm like, it's awful. It makes me anxious, and it smells gross. So some people's chemistry is just pushed the opposite direction, where it's really easy for them not to do that.
So sure, even if something happened in their life where they improve digestion accidentally or something, that could lift mineral levels to the point where they wouldn't need it as much and it could be more gross to them.
Yeah.
All right. Jake from Greenville, South Carolina. I quit cold turkey. if you broke it, wait, let's go back. I quit cold turkey. If you break down and buy another pack and smoke one, don't get disheartened. Just break them into pieces and keep trying. I bought 3 more packs when I was quitting and smoked one and destroyed the rest when I realized how weak I was being. Eventually, you get sick of spending money on something you're going to toss out.
That's a good little trick. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those tricks that is something that, you know, you put something else in your favor, but for a lot of people it would not be enough, but why not, you know, do what you can?
Or you run down the street to all your neighbors, ringing their doorbell and be like, can I borrow a cigarette? You know, you could do that too. Well, but maybe. I'm not trying to help people find ways to smoke.
Yeah, don't tell Jake that. You might blow what?
I didn't think that.
Good idea, Jake. Bobby Joe from Brownwood, Texas. Say hi to my family in Texas, Bobby Joe. Husband has smoked since 18, now 41. He has stopped a few times in the last 6 years, but only for 3 to 8 weeks. The patches don't work, Chantix didn't work, and the nicotine gum hasn't either.
Yeah, so again, you know, with Bobby Joe, nothing we say is going to fix your husband. Your husband has to want to fix it himself. But if things haven't worked, you know, there's probably reasons for that. You know, it's really important to see, you know, where are you at? What makes sense? And, you know, there is that addictive factor of the nicotine alone. So if your blood pressure is like already high and you're a smoker, then it could be easier for you to quit, but you still have to get past that addictive factor. And that may take some just effort.
Yeah, I hope your neighbor, Smokey McSmokerson, is listening to this iPod. He should leave something on his door. Because I could like, you know, time my life to his smoking.
Yeah, it's like every 18 minutes he's walking the street having a cigarette.
And I noticed he has a brace on his arm. Maybe it's from smoking too much. Really? Maybe doing the hand.
Maybe not.
Okay. Will, are
you? Yeah, I was just going to say, it. You know, when people have all these toxins stored up in their body, it's a good idea to put a little active effort into trying to detox them out of your system, which your system may not be very good at because you've been polluting it so much.
Sure.
So your liver function might be kind of impaired, but that's your main detoxification channel. So you might want to check out like the product we often recommend, Beet Flow or coffee enemas or something, to try to help clear these toxins out of your system so they don't just keep pulling you back through the addictive quality.
Right. A lot of times the body will store junk and fat cells and tissues and stuff. So once we stop bringing in whatever that junk or toxin is, the body says, oh, well, the coast is clear. I can start pulling some of this junk out of fat cells or wherever it is to remove it from the body. But as it does that, it's going through your bloodstream to get filtered out. So it's kind of like that drug going back into your body. Mm-hmm. So as this junk is filtering out, it can be like you kind of can get that taste for whatever it is and want it all over again. So that's why the initial step can be harder, and some of these things that we talk about can make it easier to get through that. Some of these things like, so let's look at some of the amino acids that we talk about using. The one that I see the most success with is L-glutamine. And it's just an amino acid. A lot of people that work out will use it to help build muscle because it pushes you more in an anabolic state. So if you do simple self-tests and you see that you're already too anabolic, then you know you don't want to use something that's going to push you further because you're going to get constipated and all kinds of other troubles. So then you would want to use something similar in the L-phenylalanine. L-phenylalanine. Right. L-phenylalanine.
Just go up to
that. Needs to be a new cuss word.
Just go up to the drugstore chick and say L-phenylalanine. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, I got that. Because that will help lift blood pressure as well, but it will push a person more catabolic if they're already too anabolic. And the mineral drops that we use usually are called concentrates. And you can usually get them like on Amazon or something. But with things like that, and that's just something you put in water that you drink, and it just helps lift your mineral levels. But you don't want to use things that are going to lift your blood pressure if your blood pressure is already high, or you're already on blood pressure meds, or, you know, you really want to know where your chemistry is before you try to use these things that can make the quitting a little easier.
Yeah. And when we think about that, say you're sitting here listening to this podcast, and you're like, well, my blood pressure is already high, and I try to quit, and I'm on the patch, so it should be getting my nicotine fix or whatever else it is, and you're wondering, well, why am I still addicted? You can look at other factors in your body chemistry and how smoking is affecting it. Like maybe your metabolism is really slow and you're what we call a slow oxidizer, and something in cigarettes is helping to push you into more of a fast oxidizer state because of how it hits your nervous system. So don't think that, oh, if your blood pressure is high, then none of this applies to you and it's just willpowering through these addictive chemicals. The better and more balanced you get your body chemistry overall, the less and less you're going to be addicted to cigarettes and need whatever however they're affecting your chemistry.
Right. When your body is getting what it needs, when your digestion is working in a way that you can actually pull nutrients out of food, all of a sudden your body stops screaming for all these things that it's using as kind of a fix, as kind of a Band-Aid type of thing.
Cool.
I guess while we're on the subject of all those different nutrients, we should also point out that when you smoke, it depletes you of vitamin C, like at the cellular level. So you probably, especially if you've been a long-time smoker, might want to take something that has a whole food form source of vitamin C, like acerola berry or camu camu, or a supplement that's a bioavailable complete form of vitamin C. And I think CoQ10 is also depleted by cigarettes.
Yeah, and those are things that the body uses to bind toxins so that they can safely be removed to the body, from the body. So, you know, if you're inhaling toxins all day, every day, you're moving through all those tools that your body uses. And as humans, we don't make our own vitamin C. We can only get it from our food. And if you're eating at the drive-thru, you're not getting it. Mm-hmm. It's you got to get some type of whole food vitamin C supplement, not like just a fraction synthetic thing you pick up at the drugstore.
All right. Sharon, I quit cold turkey before a week of vacation. My pattern routine was changed and it made it much easier. After that, I refused to buy a pack or hit the reset button. May 4th, it will be 4 years. Good job, Sharon. That's pretty brave before a vacation. I don't know. That's when I would want to smoke, I would think.
Because you're stressed out with your vacation. Yeah.
Or just drinking. Yeah, you know, all you do is drink, right? Whatever, you know.
Well, maybe Sharon doesn't drink on her vacation.
Oh, well,
maybe you just
assume. Good for Sharon. And we're not all alcoholics like me. I forgot.
But, you know, that is a good idea, though, because it is habit for a lot of people. It's not even that they are craving it. It's just the habit of doing it. So trying to quit while you're doing a totally different day might be helpful.
Well, for the record, I've only had one cigarette this whole year. Now, it is only March, or nearly about to be March. But still, that's good. And I think last year, I think I might have had four or five. Like, cigarettes aren't a big deal for me. I'd much rather have a piece of cake or food or...
joints.
Yeah.
But it used to be a problem. It used to be a lot more of a problem for you, where I would, like, I felt like I had to have a hose all the time.
Oh,
to
spray you. Shut up. Oh, I always took showers before I came in here and washed my hair, scrubbed everything on me.
No, I just meant have a hose ready in case you lit up, and I could just squirt it.
Oh, okay. Like okay. But you're saying I was stinky. Yeah. Okay, Sean from St. Augustine, Florida. I always enjoyed when we'd be driving down the road and you would throw my pack out the window. I'm assuming this is a friend of yours, Tony.
He's actually talking to me. Yeah. That was one of my high school friends.
Because I was like, was there some guy I was drunk with that I would throw out the
window? No. And he used to smoke, and we'd be driving down the road, and I'd just be like, oh, what's that? And I would just toss it out. And we'd just be going like 60.
That's awesome.
And I'd be like, sorry about your luck. He did not like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. You're one of
those you can see that I was a jackass a long time ago.
I used to have this guy that I saw too, and he would like break them, like get them and break them, and then put them back in my pack. And I'd be like, oh, great. You ask.
You just set the whole pile on fire and huff it.
We're not together. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Kelly from Hopewell, Pennsylvania. I have a desk job and a mini Keurig. I bought a variety of teas, and every time I wanted a smoke, I'd make a cup. Yeah, I drink a lot of tea, and I don't think I talked to anyone for a week. LOL.
Why wouldn't she talk to anyone for a week?
I guess she was mad.
It's going to snap or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's see.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, tea can help kind of push your blood pressure up a little bit, but, you know, not as effectively as cigarettes would, but I guess if she drank enough tea, it could help kind of push it.
Put sugar in the tea, maybe.
Yeah,
you know, that would help a lot, too.
Right.
But another thing it would be is changing a habit. You know, you're used to doing this thing, have a different activity, and maybe that helped her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kenna, what else could she do with her hands in her mouth?
Wow. Well, Will should know. Okay, Don from Rice Lake, Michigan,
Wisconsin. Michigan.
That was brilliant. That was a Freudian slip right there right after you said that. Okay, my e-cig is doing wonders for me. Yes, it is still nicotine, but I'm not getting the 300, I think, other toxic poisons. Soon I will wean off of it. I am soon to hit 2 months. That's good. I think anything, you don't have to go cold turkey if that's going to totally...
I like that they came up with those things and that they seem to be, you know, it is a less toxic situation. It probably, you know, there are people that have said, I've tried that and it didn't work. But, you know, think about that without the tar and all those other toxins, you're not thickening up your blood as well. But if you could do some of the things that we're talking about, you know, fixing digestion, bringing in more minerals, whatever, it may be easier to wean off of it by using an e-cigarette.
Yeah, I mean, I think for myself, everybody's different now. No diet is right for everybody or any other thing. But
are you mocking me?
Yeah. I'm mocking you.
It sounded a little bit like you're mocking me right now.
But I mean, like when I get off track with my eating, I have to go back baby steps. Like this week I concentrate on this. This week I don't do it all at once. If I do it all at once, I just like quit and then I don't do it at all. So for me, it is easier to, you know, do little by little every day. And maybe that won't make you freak out because you think, oh, I can have another one this evening and I can, you know, and then little, you know, get rid of that security blanket. Sure. I'm talking a lot with my hands right now. Nobody can even see me. I have some good gestures, right. Sign language.
But I like that because, you know, a lot of people, you know, you listen to Jake and he says, I quit cold turkey and that worked well for him. So he probably told
us. He also had a hooker in a hotel room. Right, yeah.
And a bunch of donuts.
But he may tell his friend, Kenna, you got to do it cold turkey. But something like that may not work for you. And then the person thinks, well, I'm just a failure and I'm stuck smoking.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's not always the case. We do, you know, just like when you're trying to lose weight, for a lot of people, progress will work better than perfection.
80-20. I mean, if you're smoking, you know, you're doing 80% of the time, great, and 20% of the time you might have a cigarette. Well, it's still not totally healthy, but it's a lot better than smoking 3 packs a day, I
sure
think.
Yeah. Definitely. So, and if it helps you get closer to the goal, then that's okay, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see here. Chris, I'm having a hard time with quitting the skull, but everyone is focusing on smoking. Well, let's give some love for the skull guy.
Yeah, we should. We should get some skull guy.
I don't know what that is.
That's the dip kind of stuff.
Oh, right.
So basically,
see how healthy I am? I didn't even know what that
is. He doesn't even know what skull is.
But it is. It's just another nicotine delivery system. And it does have a lot of really bad health issues as well. So it is something that you want to quit. But in the same respect, Chris, just find ways, you know, look at where your chemistry is, because if that nicotine is constricting your vascular system and your blood pressure is lower, doing some of these things could make it a lot easier to quit. And you could use the same steps that we're talking about with smoking.
Have you ever kissed anybody that had skull in their mouth before? You get those grains in your mouth.
This one guy, Hank.
Yeah. And, girls have done it too. When
it was
a
long
kid,
drive.
I had skull.
He was a trucker. They were bored.
I needed a ride. You know, what are you going to do?
Skull does not discriminate between men and women. I've known plenty of women who, well, not plenty, but a few.
But I've had friends that were just as addicted to their, you know, dipping as other friends were to smoking. So it can be just as hard.
And people don't make it such a big deal because it doesn't really affect them because you don't have the smell. So it's like, oh, okay, they can do whatever they want. Uh-huh. It's not like secondhand smoke. So that's the way I feel.
But it does, having it on your lip there and in your skin, it causes troubles at the cellular level. And you see pictures of these people, like with their jaw fell out.
Cancer and awful. In the jaw. Right, yeah.
Hit it and my jaw falls off.
Right, you don't want that.
I'd be out of business.
So, Will, what do you think is the summary of what what somebody should take from this show besides things they learned about Kenna.
I think the main...
They're not true, most of them.
The main thing is to don't beat yourself up if you've tried to quit before and failed. It's probably because your body chemistry was benefiting from smoking in some way. Most likely, low blood pressure being the culprit. So if you take steps to correct your low blood pressure, like fixing your digestion, using more salts and these amino acids that you mentioned, that can really help address one of the main reasons why people keep getting pulled back into smoking.
Right. And just don't be that guy that listens to what we said and says, I don't need to check out my body. I'll just take all those things and then I'll be golden.
Right.
Because, you know, if you take all of them, not only are you going to be kind of driving with your foot on the gas and the brake at the same time, but you could cause yourself damage. You know, if your blood pressure is already high, you don't want to cause a blowout, and that's a problem.
That was a good voice. Are you trying to take my job of reading the... Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then your job will just be to be annoying.
Yeah, be annoying and tell things that somewhat are true and somewhat aren't true.
And offend people.
Offend people, yeah, I'm just playing a character, y'all. I'm a lovely person.
I can offend people, I think. So that's what... The main thing is that understand that, yes, it's still going to take effort. You're still going to have to want to quit. There is no magic fix at all, and there never will be. But if you can look at your chemistry and see what's going on, then you can get a better idea of what's going to make it easier for you. I have had a lot of clients that were like, you know, I've quit smoking a lot of times, and that was absolutely the easiest it's ever been, because they were working with their body instead of against it.
Oh, I thought you were wanting a pat on the back because they were your clients.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
You can give me a pat on the back for other stuff. Okay. My hair looks good today.
It does.
One thing, too, is if you're hearing this live on the Terry James Network, Terry James Alive Network, and you want to pass this along to a friend, the following week you can find it on iTunes or on Stitcher, too, all of our past episodes. And if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, you can hear our new shows every week on the Terry James Alive Network.
Awesome. And if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. Hope you stop smoking this week, people.
Smoke them if you got them.
Ah.
Oh, man, we just ruined everything.
Ah,
we got to start over.
Erase.